Hey guys, if you know me, you know I love to travel and you know I love to save money. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships. How to maximize points for real savings, not just free bottled water. How to avoid paying for upgrades you won't use, and so much more. They're doing great work over there. Check it out. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast.
The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Melissa Curtin. And before we get to Melissa, here's a few announcements. Our website is traveltalespodcast.com. Go there and you will find stories that I've written, some stories that some of the guests have written. You'll see photos of the guests and links to their social media. You'll see links to our social media. The big one is Instagram, Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. Go there. Please give us a follow. I do appreciate that. And while you're subscribing and following, why don't you go to your streaming service, wherever you get this podcast. Most of you are on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeartRadio or something like that. Give us a good rating. That helps more people find the show. Always a cool thing for you to do. We are a part of the Voyascape Travel Podcast Network. If you want to hear more travel content, go to Voyascape Media and see all the other shows that they have. If you think you'd make a good guest or know somebody who would make a good guest for this show, or you want to write me and ask me travel questions, ask me anything, or maybe just tell me I'm awesome, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Melissa Curtin was one of my earliest guests, 12 years ago to be exact. Wow. I met her through Johnny Jett, who was a guest even before her. And at the time, she was doing some writing on the side for him. And she and a friend went on to start La La Scoop, which is an LA-based travel and lifestyle site. And a few years later, her partner moved on, but she kept it going, and it still keeps it going to this day. You can go to lalascoop.com and check out the site and follow her at lalascoop on Instagram. But Melissa just doesn't focus on LA-based stuff. She goes all over the world, still writes articles for Johnny Jett and her own site, of course. And not only does she do travel writing, she's also a travel agent now and is finding much success doing that and enjoying it. Melissa and I have stayed in touch over the years. We'd see each other at travel events or every so often do a hike together. She got married some years back and her husband has a place in Malibu that luckily survived the fires. It was very close. So I was happy to see that not only she, but she and her husband and their place survived. And they also have a place in Palm Springs. I remember when she bought it and they had to renovate it. And now they rent it out on Airbnb and you can stay there as well. And we talk about that a little bit. So anyway, it was great to catch up with her and talk travel. Here's my chat with Melissa Curtin. Melissa Curtin, where have you been for 12 years?
Oh my God, I know. I've been traveling nonstop.
Let's not pretend we haven't seen each other over the past 12 years. And when you told me it's been 12 years, I freaked out. Which means you were one of the early ones. You were probably, one of the first guests I had.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. And we met through Johnny Jett, our old pal Johnny Jett.
That's when I started my travel writing.
Yeah. So let's give people who are too lazy to go back 12 years and listen to your earlier episode. Let's just nutshell it really quick. You came out to LA. You're originally from Connecticut.
Yes.
Came to LA. You were teaching for a long time. And then you started, you and was it Rachel, your friend?
Oh, Rochelle.
Rochelle. You started La La Scoop.
Yes.
Together. Which is was an LA-centric kind of travel lifestyle blog, right? Or
yes.
I guess you would call it a blog.
Yeah, really just celebrating Los Angeles. And we kind of expanded into California as a whole, just really celebrating and highlighting the best of LA in pretty much everything.
And she has since moved away, but you kept it going, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still, well, because of the fires, I wasn't in LA so much this year, and now we're back in Malibu, but I was in Palm Springs more so in the last few years, but still in LA. And yeah, it's still going strong. I have a small team of writers that contribute, and you know, it's still a lot of times now I'm reposting travel articles that I write for other magazines and publications, and I try to just repost them on the site. But yeah, no, I mean, this today I'm writing probably like 5 Lala Scoop articles to get published. So yeah, it's still going.
Wow, that's amazing. So when did you stop teaching, and was it COVID that did it, or was the travel stuff and the writing and the web stuff just too busy, and then you couldn't do them both?
That's a great question. In 2012, when I started writing for Johnny Jet, I think soon after I took a year off of teaching and I was just solely writing for him and going on media trips all over the world. Then I went back to the classroom for a few more years in the Palisades. And then, yeah, then I was just done with teaching. I my career was, you know, over 20 years. I had a lot of private clients, even during the pandemic. And I just sort of phased it out, I would say 3 years ago, because I became a travel advisor. So I started with a company called Fora that pretty much launched about 3 years ago when I began. And it's gone so well. So I book clients all over the world for cruises, hotel stays, VIPing them with special perks. And now I'm just solely travel writing still, nonstop, and working with clients. And, you know, I'm a freelance writer, but I've actually come full circle. I've been writing a lot for Johnny Jet again. so, yeah. Really fulfilling my secret dreams. I mean, I was in, you know, did semester at sea in college in the 90s. And ever since that trip, I was like, I want to be a travel writer. You know, the dream was always to be like a journalist for National Geographic. So I feel like I'm secretly living out that dream that I've always had. So I feel very lucky.
Well, you're not secretly doing it. You're very publicly doing it.
Yes. But my secret passion, I guess.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Public passion.
Well, that's great. So, in that time, you've also gotten married.
Yes.
You bought a place. You and your husband bought a place in Palm Springs, which I saw, which is lovely, which you can still Airbnb it if people want to.
Yes. Lone Palm Bungalow. it is already rented for 3 months this winter, so we'll be traveling.
Ooh,
probably,
wow.
Probably going to Hawaii for a couple of months or, you know, being in Malibu as well. But I mean, it's the Airbnb thing has done us very well. So,
well, let's, you know, you mentioned Malibu, and let's talk about the fiery elephant in the room. I have not been up there since the fire, and I want to see it, but I don't. You know what I mean? It's and you guys are really close to the water, and tell people how close to the fire get to you and what's left, and can people still go if they want, or should they, or what's happening?
Yeah, it's really, really sad, honestly. Like, I've gone back, you know, to get into LA, I got to drive out to go to Santa Monica. So I've gone through it a lot. It's super depressing. It never gets any less painful to witness and kind of see the changes with what's going on. And now there's just signs everywhere, like for sale, this is sold, this builder wants you, this one wants you. It's really, really sad. We know so many people that lost homes. We thought our place was actually gone, our little bungalow. The fire came. We had a fire in December, which was, we fought with our neighbors. And then we had another fire, the one that everyone knows about, in January. And, you know, we fought with all our neighbors to try to save our little place. And Basically, we fled in the middle of the night when it came over the house, and we totally thought it was gone. I was screaming at the fire, crying hysterically. We had our cars on the PCH ready to run. And then, it was a horrific night. And when we left, there's so many stories with this. One, I was going on a press trip. So literally getting on a plane, I was covered in smoke, like completely black coming out of my eyes. I didn't have time to shower. I had to find a hotel near LAX. I probably shouldn't have gone on the trip, but I was like, get me out of here at the same time. I slept for like 2 hours and got on a plane. The winds were like 50 miles an hour still. I thought I was going to die on the plane. There was like 10 of us.
I was amazed they were still flying.
I know. It was so crazy. So yeah, I went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and I call it fire and ice. I like fought a fire all night. It was so scary. And I woke up in like negative 17. So I was like, what wow. is going on in my life? Everything burned around us. Pretty much all the way to us down to the PCH. It feels good though. Like where we are, we were away for long enough. The air feels great here. And I say that we kind of live on the border of hell and hope. You go left, it's pretty much World War III. You go right, it's still beautiful. So people should come. Go down Malibu Canyon if you don't want to see the horrors. And then everything's open. People need to come. They need to eat, go to the hotels, Malibu Beach Inn. They need to drink, hang out, go. All the hiking is still here. I mean, there's no reason not to come. It's just that one stretch that we know, you know, from LA, Santa Monica to, before us. That's, you know,
wow.
So,
I've heard mixed things about swimming in the beach. The water.
That's a great question. I am not swimming at the beach. I have seen a lot of people swimming on Carbon Beach. I personally would not. There's a ton of surfers at Surfrider. I'm looking at them right now. People are still going in with wetsuits. Personally, we can see like when there's storms and they're bringing up logs that like would kill you and like busted up things on the beach. But this beach, Carbon Beach shapeshifts. It's called Billionaire Beach. The beach shapeshifts every day. So it's like a whole new beach. And there's like one day it looks perfectly pristine. The next day you kind of see that black stuff. Next day there's like, you know, stuff on it from people's houses. I would go deep. Like everyone's still swimming. Go to El Pescador, El Matador, Zuma. Those beaches are fine. It all went this way. So, yeah. Half of Malibu is still amazing. I just personally wouldn't go to Carbon. I don't even feel really safe swimming in Surfrider either.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. We'll get off of LA in a little bit. But the last question I had, I know, you know, you and I have both lived in LA a long time and we're from other places. And one of the reasons you did La La Scoop, I think, is because you love it out here, you know. But, you know, cities... And I lived in Chicago and New York and cities around the world where they have ups and downs. Cities go through good times and bad times. And just like, and in the last 5-6 years, especially in LA, it's been a down. It's just one hit after another, you know. So, and here you are, you have this LA-centric website. Do you take a mission to like try to keep it positive? Or, I mean, you have posted some negative stuff about it too. I mean, are you caught in that line? It's like, I want to promote this place, but sometimes it's hard.
That's a really, really good question. Cause I have mixed feelings about Los Angeles. You know, I fell in love with this place 18 years ago. I really felt so joyful in, you know, Hollywood Hills, West Hollywood, Malibu. I think you got to pick and choose, you know, where you go that makes you feel safe and happy. I think, I hate to say this, but Los Angeles is in a severe depression because of all the things that have happened. I think that's all cities almost in the U.S. Not all, but it feels like it most. And I'm still promoting and celebrating hotels and restaurants in L.A., Malibu. I still think people should come and support. I think if you're coming from somewhere else, you should maybe pick a neighborhood or two and just like stick to focusing on that. Yeah.
That was always the case. You know, LA's a hard thing to tell people to come to, you know, when people around the world ask me about California, honestly, God, I usually send them to San Francisco.
Oh God, I think that's worse. No,
No. In terms of a city, it's more of a city. It's very, you don't need a car, which is huge.
Okay.
Prettier, I think, actually.
Okay, interesting. So what I tell people, that's interesting that you say that, because I tend to not say that, but I have been saying to most people to explore the smaller towns in areas around the big city. So I'll say like, you know, go to Ojai, go to Palm Springs. If you're in San Diego, go to La Jolla, Carlsbad, Encinitas, like, explore those small towns. I think because I work with clients that come from the East Coast and they want to know, I hate to say that, like, I'm like, you don't really need to go to Hollywood. You could just,
Disappointing to everyone.
I know, but some people from out of town, you know, they have kids and they want to see all these things. And I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to do that for an hour,
That's an hour. Some other tops. Take your photos by the stars, on the sidewalk, do your thing.
So that's interesting. You've been promoting San Francisco. I've really been promoting the smaller places outside, like as a road trip wise. And like the clients I've had, they've loved it. They're like, oh, thanks for sending me there. And like,
People, especially people from other countries, they have no idea just how huge California is. So they're like, hey, we're going to be in San Francisco. We'll just come meet you down in LA. It's like, no, man. It's 400, 500 miles. I don't know what it is.
I had clients come from Greece and I was like, really? Your husband wants to go to Yosemite after LA for a night and then you're going to go to San Francisco? I said, whoa. And they were literally, oh no, he drives a lot.
He doesn't drive this much.
I was like, oh my God, do you really realize like how long it's going to be?
Yeah.
And so they're coming for a week and they're going San Diego, LA, we're going to go to Yosemite, then we're going to go to San Francisco. I'm like, oh my God.
In a week? In 1 week?
Yeah. But they did it.
Oh boy.
But I told them that wasn't a smart idea and I suggested in my places, but you can't, you know, when people have it in their mind that they're going to drive the California coast or they're going to, you know, see all of California. I mean, I think you're right. Most people don't realize. I have to tell East Coasters, it's like California is like Maine to Maryland.
Yeah.
It's huge. Like Los Angeles. Yeah.
It's long. It's big. It's like you wouldn't go, hey, we're going to Miami. We'll see you in Atlanta. And that's kind of like how the distance is. It's just like, no, come on.
Totally.
It's huge. But it's just been a hard thing of like between, the fires and this other stuff and then COVID hit. But a lot of what's happening to the entertainment industry and everything like that. You know, we get out of COVID when it shuts down and then we go on strike for another year. And then AI and then Runaway Productions. And it's going to be really, it's just like one hit after another, you know?
You're right. Hopefully, it really has the fires, the pandemic, all of it.
But I don't want to be one of these guys that, you know, come here and you pursue your dreams and then they happen. And then, especially these guys who are rich and then they, you know, they don't want to pay any taxes. So they run off to Texas and then badmouth this place. I'm just like, oh, you mean the place that made all your dreams come true? That place?
Yeah.
It's like, you want to leave, you don't want to pay money. Fine. I understand that. But you don't have to shit on it.
Yeah.
And when you leave, when it was, you know, pretty good to you. And honestly, the town was pretty good to me. So even if I left tomorrow, I wouldn't piss all over it.
Los Angeles was so good to me. Like, honestly, I can't think of another place that would have provided the opportunities that I were presented, you know, and that came because of living here. And I'm super grateful for that because, you know, what I've done in the last 18 years would have never, I think, materialized if I like stayed in D.C., or even Connecticut, or I moved somewhere else. And I think you and I know that, like, the creative vibes, the energy was so just jamming for so long here. I mean, at least like 15 years I was here, I was like, every day was like, oh my God, we're doing this. What's going on? You know, who are you meeting? And it was like a vibrant place. And I think Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that we don't want to admit is, and I see this, and you know, we're older, and
we're
cities are really for the young. You know what I mean?
So true.
In a way, and so as much as we say, you know, we had a good run or whatever it was here, there's people showing up today who are excited as hell, and they're
totally,
and their lives are going to change. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So you got to rotate. Every city's like that.
Totally. My yoga instructor this morning, 27, just moved here from Brooklyn, from Connecticut.
Right?
And she was like, I just got my master's in spiritual psychology. And I wrote
and I wrote
a novel. And I'm like, you welcome to the dream of Malibu. Welcome to Soul House. Like, you know what I mean? And she's teaching me yoga on the beach. I'm like, it's really good here.
Yeah.
Like,
that's peak California. She's in Malibu teaching yoga on the beach.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, totally.
That's overly California. Then there's that old saying, it's like, no one's more California than someone just moves here. You know, because they're all into it. It's like, I'm going to eat organic now or whatever.
Yeah. And like, yoga is church. If you don't do yoga when you're like, you're not spiritually awakened. And like, it's so funny because, you know, when I moved from the East Coast, it was like, there was so much drinking. I'm not that there is not drinking here, but like, I moved here and it was a complete shift. It was like juice and yoga and no one's, you know, it's just different. Like, you know, in New York, people were boozing and starting their night at 11 o'clock at night and going to 4 in the morning. You come here and people are, Beverly Hills is shut down at 8 o'clock.
That was hard for me to get used to coming from Chicago, New York, where, and I was working nights and clubs all the time. So just like, there was always somewhere to go and then always somewhere open. And then you come here and it's like last call at 1:15. I'm like, what? I just got off work. What? Are you kidding me? What does everybody do here?
Totally.
And I guess they go to each other's houses, I guess. But I got to admit, Uber really changed a lot of the nightlife here. I mean, the fear of a DUI and parking was enough to keep you in, you know?
That's true. It changed my life. I'll tell you, I was in West Hollywood when Uber launched and I was literally going to the airport from West Hollywood for like $10. And that was a long time. It was like that. And I remember I could get like Uber Eats at my house for like $10. And then, and then it was great. I remember, you know, when I lived in the Hollywood Hills, there was no Uber. And I remember having to pay for a taxi from LAX. It was like $75. I thought that was a lot.
It was.
like 20,
it
18 still years
is.
Ago.
Oh, my God. So, okay, we're L.A., we know, so people go to La La Scoop, and it's still all about L.A. But I'm not, since 12 years, you've been to so many places around the world, we can't cover them all. So why don't we just take the last few, give me some highlights of, I know you just took your mom to a river cruise in Europe?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was actually 2 years ago, but I did, I've been, you know, I think it's important now that as my mother's getting older, she's, oh God, don't say it too loud. She would be so angry. She's 80. So I've been trying to take her on cruise experiences. I took her on Viking River cruise from Paris to Normandy, which was a lovely way to travel with an older person because, you know, you're getting off and experiencing things together. And but no, recently, last year, I'm trying to figure out our next move together, but we did a Windstar cruise around Iceland. We did a circumnavigation. She's still talking about it because it was like pure adventure. I booked all these fun things in every port. You know, we're like in the middle of a fjord, no one else around. And there's humpback whales jumping all around us. There's like 8 of us in this little boat. I mean, it's just every experience was so incredible. And to do it with her, you know, I think you and I know as our parents are older, it's like important to have these little moments with them that they can feel, you know, great about. So, yeah.
My mom's 80. My mom's turning 90 this month. But for her 80th, I took her to Ireland.
Oh.
And we just rented a car and, you know, I just drove Miss Daisy around for a week. You know, it was great.
That's awesome. I love it.
And looking back now, because now she can't really travel. So I'm so glad we did it while she could, you know, because you don't know how long it's going to be before they can't.
Yeah.
Well, we can't, you know, for whatever it is.
I know. And I remember you met my mom ages ago. Remember when Johnny Jed had that like event at Universal or Yeah. My mom loved you.
Oh, she was sweet.
But yeah, no, I feel like it is really important, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with her next. Like, we want to, you know, obviously do another cruise. Actually, I just booked her and her, you know, widow friends are going on a cruise in about a week. They're going on all over Europe. So she's still active. Like, she's still, she wants to go. Like,
good for
what's
her.
The next trip? What's the next adventure? She's very excitable. And yeah.
Okay, so now you have a place in Palm Springs, which yes. You got, which I saw is very adorable.
Thank you.
Do you shut it down for the summer?
That's a good question. My husband's there right now, and he's like, oh, my God, you can't go out before – you can only go out before 10 a.m.
Yeah.
But we have renters. Like, I think, you know, the younger set now has this thing, two weekends in August – called Splash House. We didn't have this. And they're all like in their bikinis and thongs partying with DJs at all these pools. So they, you know, we have that going on. And then we got a lot of inquiries this month for fashion shoots. So, and interviews. So like people want to just use our backdrop for an interview, like for, you know, bunch of influencers.
Okay. Well, now that you're working as on the other end as like travel agent,
yeah.
How do you navigate Airbnb as opposed to hotels? There's been a backlash in a lot of places on Airbnb with all the fees and things like that. Do you ever recommend it, or are you when you got your travel agent hat on, are you a hotel person? I mean, how does
that
work?
That's a very good question. So most of my clients, I wouldn't say all of them, but most of them are pretty luxury. So they're looking at villas or high-end hotels. They're not really coming to me for an Airbnb experience, sometimes a villa. But no, so I'm not saying go to Airbnb. But, you know, we have a lot of traction referrals from Airbnb, and we have so many repeat people. Like, we have a, you know, someone renting our place for 3 months this winter. It's just a quiet couple from Chicago that, you know, obviously has money to spend. So no, that's a good question. No, I'm not typically recommending Airbnb. Yeah, the fees are bad, I guess you could say. The cleaning fees are crazy, but I guess it's all part of it. And honestly, in Palm Springs, it actually pretty much makes sense because the hotel rates are like three times what they used to be. So for...
Well, they're in Vegas, they're charging these resort fees, which are a joke. Too, you know?
Totally. But so like if it's like a family or like a small, like two or three people or three girls, it's going to make more sense for them to, rather than getting two hotel rooms, to have a nice little bungalow, beautiful house with a view. They're going to pay way less.
Right. I mean, for groups. Yeah. For groups, okay. And if you want to cook and, you know, save money that way.
But we have a lot of people that come and don't cook at all. Like, they spend a ton of money and they never even touch the kitchen.
All right. Fine by me. Fine by you.
Yeah, totally.
That's great. So those fees, though, that everybody's complaining about, does that come from high up, from Uber? Is that corporate, or is that just individual owners adding those fees?
I guess I don't really know too much about it. My husband does more of the paying attention to that than I do. Yeah, I guess there's fees, but I always thought the cleaning fees were so ridiculous, but it's not really. We pay a lot. I mean, they charge a lot for cleaning fees. So we're not overcharging our guests. It's just what it is, you know? But the other fees, I mean, it's just how it is. You know, people see the total price, and like, you can see all the, I guess, the extra, whatever they're charging. But some people, it makes more sense. Like, that's what they want. They want the privacy of a house. They don't want to be in a hotel and someone's looking at them at the pool. And so I think that people that want, they want my neighborhood, first of all, and we're like a mile from town, but they also want the exclusivity of.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? Okay. Now give me your highlights. Say the last 4 or 5 years, what trips stand out in your mind that just blew you away? Were there some places that you like, I wasn't expecting much of this place, and then it kind of blew your head off? You're like, whoa, this is awesome.
Wow. That's a great question. I was thinking about that because people always ask me that. Okay. So I think travel is for different reasons in a way. I love Sicily. I want to go back. I love food and wine, and I like the prices there, or at least, although I think they have increased a lot since I've been there. But I really want to explore more of Sicily. I've been there twice. But
you know where we got to go next?
Where?
I heard my friend who lives Sardinia.
Oh, I haven't been.
That's, yeah, me neither. So yeah, they just went this summer, my friend, who they go every year to Italy, and he gave it a thumbs up, and he knows. Yeah, so
I really
anyway,
want to
go,
there.
Go on.
Yeah. So I went to Greece for the second time last year. We're going back soon. I'm going to be there for 3 weeks. In another week, I'm going back to Greece. I fell in love with the Greek islands. Milos, Paros, Crete, Santorini was fabulous. Now people knock on it, but you got to go to the right place. We stayed in Amirovigli, which is kind of between Ia and Thera on the caldera. It was fabulous. You know, people always complain, oh, there's too many crowds. You just got to know how to do it. Go to a winery, go to that private beach, take a yacht around the Santorini. I don't know. I had the best time in Greece. I'm so excited to go back. And because I'm a food lover. So I love the food, the culture, the people. I like to be swimming. I different trips are for different reasons. Bosnia kind of blew me away, but also the smoke killed me there. I think I came home with like a lung
the cigarette
problem.
Smoke. Yeah,
it
Eastern
was so
Europe
much
is tough.
Smoke. Yeah. And I loved Bosnia for the shock of just the difference of what I've seen traveling. It was very interesting, you know, history, culture, whatever. But there's the smoke killed me there.
I picture it as a less expensive Croatia. But yes. I mean, the infrastructure's got to be not as good, probably.
But it was also so beautiful, like Mostar and Sarajevo. Like everything was just so gorgeous, all the bridges and like staying in these like little, you know, rock inns and on the water. And it was beautiful. The smoke honestly killed me. I think when I came home, I had a lung condition for like a year. I'm serious. Like my lungs were like crackling, but I really liked it. And everybody I met there was awesome. Another place that I highly recommend, I was like intrigued because of my father, who had been there a couple times. And when he was younger, I went with my husband on a polar expedition ship called Eco Ventura to the Galapagos Islands.
That's on my bucket list.
Yeah, and it really altered my mind. And it was so beautiful. You know, when you're on a trip and you're like, your whole being is shifted because the animals, you know, when we're here in California, the lizard runs away from you. And to have all the animals look at you and come closer – and you feel like you're in Jungle Book on every island that's so, and so many endemic species. It just felt really magical. It felt to me like the beginning of time. Like how, this is how it should be at the beginning of time. Like it was just, I loved it so much. And I didn't expect to have that feeling or that awareness there. I did not know. So I feel very lucky for that. Trying to think of other ones that like blew me away recently. I've been like really turned on by Canada lately. I went to Banff for the first time last year.
Oh, Banff is beautiful.
Oh, I've never been to Canada. Like I've been like
what?
30 years.
Oh,
I know.
Come on.
So, oh my God, the Banff was so wild because the Northern Lights, I didn't know I was going to be there for them. And so I literally lost my mind. I was at a dinner and I escaped the dinner and I would never came back. I was out all night with the locals and I was on a bridge in the dark seeing swirls and purples and greens and yellows. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And then I walked home to my hotel by myself and ran into a moose in the middle of the night. I screamed. I was like, the thing was like tall. It was so tall.
Moose are huge.
I know.
They're huge.
And then they had to try to convince me, the publicist, that I didn't see a moose. No, they don't come down here. You saw an elk. I'm like, no, I Googled it. I saw its face. It was a moose. And then I jumped. I was so scared. And there was this one girl who was walking and I was like, I think that's a moose. She was like, oh yeah, probably. They come down and eat. But it was just funny. Banff excited me. I was just at the Calgary Stampede. Calgary was a cool place. And I just got invited to Jasper for the Dark Skies in October.
But Jasper, didn't they just have fires? Speaking of fires, how are they doing? I heard that was bad.
Yes, very much like here. They're in recovery. I think like half their place burned down. I don't know. I haven't been yet, but I think they're in recovery mode and trying to draw people as well. And but I'm really excited to go back to Canada. I'm like, give me more Canada, Canadian travel.
Well, you know, I've done
so nice.
You know, I've been on the Rocky Mountaineer train like 4 times.
Oh, cool.
Your mom would like that.
I want to do that.
Yeah, it's nice. It's but as a travel agent, I would, you know, because I was, it can be pricey.
Well, I looked into that for a client, two clients actually. Mm-hmm. And oh my God. Yeah. It's expensive.
Yeah. Yeah,
so. And then they asked me, you know, they were like, oh, do we have something like that in the US? And I really couldn't find anything that like, you know, excited them as much as that one.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They opened one from Denver to, no, it was from Moab to Denver? Moab to Colorado
yes.
Springs or something?
Yes,
or, yeah.
I did see something about that.
Same company, but I haven't done it yet. They offered it, you know, because I've done like promotions for them, but it just never worked out. But I hope it's going. I don't know post-COVID. If I think it's still going. I hope it. You know, the timing was tough.
I think it is. I think so. I'm trying to think what other exciting adventures.
Well, how about something that didn't impress you so much? Do you steer people away from somewhere?
I can tell you some places that didn't. Well, no, I don't know. How do I go into that?
Well, I know. That's the hard thing.
You know, well, Myanmar was also amazing, but you can't go to Myanmar right now.
Well, that's okay. Let's talk about Myanmar because
Cuba was amazing too, but it's not like you're sending people. I'm not sending people to Cuba.
I know, it's hard.
Either.
You got to sneak in. So, but how do you like, you're one of the few people I know. Myanmar has been on my bucket list forever. And there was only like a 1-2 year window where it was open. You could get in.
Yeah.
And you got in there somehow. So tell me about that and how that happened.
I'll tell you, like, it was one of the best.
When was that?
Okay, that was like, this is actually before I was married. So it was like 2015, I think. And it was honestly, Mike, one of the best trips of my whole life. You know why? I was solo traveling and I loved it. I loved every moment. I like solo traveling. I was in Bosnia solo too. I think when
unless your husband know about that.
No. Yeah, he already knows. Believe me.
He already knows.
She would rather be without me. I think when you solo travel, you're more aware. You're seeing things. You're meeting people. You're experiencing things you wouldn't necessarily meet when you have someone's emotions and feelings you got to deal with.
You're not painting him in a good light.
I know. No, I didn't mean it like that. But
you know when you don't have to deal with your husband's bullshit.
No, when you don't have to deal with someone's like, you know, I go hard when I travel it alone because I'm like, you know, you wake up, you want to do all these things.
Yeah, I mean, you set your own schedule and agenda. You set your own pace and everything. Yeah. I get it. Hey, I've been doing it for a long time, so
totally.
I'm with you. So, how did you get in?
Okay, I just got in. I was in Chiang Mai. Actually, this is crazy. I won a trip on Instagram, like this baller trip. Yeah. Okay. No. First, Aaron Paul put out something, you know, for Breaking Bad on Instagram to put your best travel photo. It was some like Marriott thing, whatever. I ended up winning it. I couldn't believe it. This was like just got on Instagram. You know, it was over 10 years ago. And they sent me so much travel stuff. You can't even believe. And then all of a sudden, I had two tickets to stay in a giant villa house. It was like MTV Cribs in Chiang Mai at the Dara Devi. It was so insane. People thought it was a scam. It was not a scam. I won.
Wow.
And then, so I got there first, right? So I'm at the Dara Devi living my best life. And then I was like, you know, obviously I'm going to extend it. I'm all the way over here. I'm going to Myanmar. So I don't know. I got in through the border in the north. I think that's what I did. Or no, that's not what I did. I flew to Yangon in the south and then just made my way up. I mean, that was actually crazy.
So you didn't have any kind of tour set or any nothing?
I had a plan in my mind. That was it. It was a little dangerous, honestly, in certain places.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be unescorted there. I mean,
it was like, I can tell you, I made a lot of mistakes. Like I didn't have the right money. I'm in Yangon. I couldn't get money out of the ATM. I literally, Mike, you had to pay for a flight in cash. Like they came to my hotel and I'm like, do, 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 do. Here's my money from me, you know, my Burmese money, because they didn't have credit card, anything. So like I was even sketched out on the plane. I'm taking this like little jumper to get from Yangon to, I did Bagan and Inli Lake, which were so incredible. You know, Bagan is like where they have
it's thousands. All the temples.
Yes.
Yeah.
The two stupas in the temples. And, you know, I know it's changed now because I've heard from other writers. But when I was there, I hopped on a bike every morning and I went in a temple, climbed up through it on the top and watched the sunrise. Went to like 20 a day. I watched the sunset from another temple. And I mean, it was so wild. Okay, let me tell you my favorite, funniest story. I was exploring. There's all kinds of creatures in these temples that are all broken down and beautiful. And one day this kid follows me on his like bike. And I'm like thinking he wants money. You know, he's got sure. his little thing on. And I'm like, and I don't want to be rude, but I'm like, why the heck are you following me? Well, you know, and he's like, so I'm in the temple. I'm going in. I'm exploring. I'm looking at all this beautiful stuff. And he's like, miss. And I'm like, what? Like, he's like, oh, I'm an educational guide. He's like, you know, speaking in broken English. He's like, miss, be careful. I'm like, why? There's a cobra that lives in the back wall. It's like, oh my God. I'm like, so like, yeah, it was just like crazy, you know.
You might have been the first like white person he's ever seen.
Yeah, but it was, you're right. That's another story. So like he was trying to protect me because he knew he lived there, that there was a cobra in the back wall of his temple. And I'm like, holy shit, I probably would have been killed. And then, sorry, I'm swearing. But yeah, case in point, one of the most magical and weird experiences I had was when I got off the plane in, was it Inley Lake or Bagan? No, it was Bagan. And my driver, who didn't speak English, he ended up spending the entire day with me and I paid him some money. He took me to all these fabulous places, like mind blowing. But he was staring at me like this, just like staring. He had never seen blonde hair and he couldn't believe my green eyes. He was like literally, because they didn't have internet or phone. So they never seen, you know, what we're looking at. And so he touched my hair. He was petting my hair on the temple. He thought it was like a golden goddess or something.
You're a witch. You're a witch.
I was like, it was so crazy. But that guy, he was so kind. He took me to like, I don't want to say like sweatshops, but like I saw like engravings they were doing on these, you know, lacquer that, you know, people pay a lot of money for. They're probably making like a penny. And a lot of temples he showed me. And it was weird because he took me to a restaurant, but I was like, I'll pay for your lunch. Come and have lunch with me. He refused. He sat in the car while they were all laughing at me at the restaurant because I ordered everything. I want this. I want that. I want that. The people were like, is she a god? Like, is she some rich woman from
this American eating everything on the menu?
I literally ordered everything.
We heard they like to eat, but we didn't believe it till we saw it.
And they were coming out and serving me, and they were all like, like, who is this crazy?
Was the food like a lot like Thai or Laotian and stuff like that?
Yeah.
As in delicious?
It was delicious. And I mean, so cheap. That's why I was ordering everything. I wanted to try it all.
Could you tell was there a definite like military and police presence everywhere you turn and stuff like that?
No, not at all. No. I didn't see that at all. But when I was in Yangon, I felt very unsafe there. I hate to say that. It's probably better now. But it reminded me of Vietnam in the 90s, where I eventually ran to my hotel and like almost locked myself in the room because I don't think women, or maybe I wasn't wearing the right thing, I don't know. But like women, I was like chased by a bunch of men. Maybe culturally, you know, I don't know. Women aren't supposed to be out alone. I don't know. And there was a lot of weird, not weird. It's not weird. It was a third world country. And that's how Vietnam was, you know, in the 90s. So I saw a lot of eye opening things. There was a lot of poverty and just, yeah. I met one girl there that was cool. She was like American by herself too. And so we kind of latched on, walked together to the Shwedi, which was, I met a monk and he invited me to stay at his place. Like, you would come for the night, you can sleep. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, but they let people
very
come
white
for,
lotus of you.
The monks let you come and stay, you know, for a night. And he was very sweet. And there are monks everywhere. So it was very interesting, you know.
Wow. I would still want to go. But, you know, some places, and I tell people this all the time, if there's a place you want to go that it's open politically and it's peaceful and there's no guarantee that it will be next year. You know, so if you got to jump on it. You know?
That's so true, because we had jumped on the Cuba bandwagon during that time. And it's so funny because I asked my husband, like, what's your favorite trip that we've been on? I was shocked when he said Cuba, because we kind of like, it was the beginning of our relationship. And I'm so wild. I was taking him to like these Casa Particulares that were not very bougie. And like, there's ants on the toilet. And I'm like, he's going to think I'm crazy. Like, you know, like we're at this person's house.
Yeah, that's where I stayed.
Yeah, like, you know, and so But it was weird to hear that that was like one of the most memorable trips for him.
And why? Because it was just so different. Is that what he liked about it?
I think so. You know, culturally, it was so fascinating and so interesting to us.
Yeah, to see a place where there's no advertising. That first and foremost, you don't realize how much a part of it is in our sight line every day. And this go to a place where there's none of it. You know, no Coca-Cola ads, no this or whatever.
Yeah. And also, when I was there, we stayed at a lot of different Casa Particulares. And I think that was a very interesting experience because why stay at the $400 hotel with all the, they didn't even have water that worked, the bed's broken,
right.
The door's broken. So we had like this cultural immersion into so many beautiful situations, even in the countryside of Vinales, in Havana. But so I think it was very meaningful in that way. But also, yeah, I got really sick there. But like really sick. But
that's good for a starter relationship. See you puking everywhere.
Oh, no. It was so bad. No toilets. We're on a beach. It was so bad. I can't even tell you. Oh, my God. Running into the water. Like, I'm going to die.
No.
But what else about that trip? Like, it was just so wild. And there's some things that kind of break my heart about that trip. Because we did meet a young guy who we paid for his drinks all night. And, you know, listening to him, they just wanted... I felt regret that I didn't bring them T-shirts and shoes and... music.
Yeah, it's very, very poor, you know, and it's, you know, the locals do the best with what they got, which they have this amazing spirit that they have, but they don't have much, you know.
I'll tell you one of the wildest stories. Like for me, we're driving along one of those, you know, old cars that's all put together and the fumes are coming in and we're bumping on the broken roads and I'm like about to get sick from the fumes pulling in and all that stuff and the dust and I'm like, ah, and then, you know, we're on this trip and then the speaker falls from the ceiling and hits the guy in the head. Oh, no big deal. No. He doesn't stop driving. He's driving like this and he gets his tools out of the side.
He's holding the speaker.
And he's speaking it and he's fixing things with his tools driving down the road. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, the car was probably from 1958, you know.
Yeah. And every little thing was screwed on. Like, you know, there's just like you said, there's so, any little thing they'll save and reuse in it in a very interesting way. Yeah.
You know, it's eye-opening not only to be there, but, you know, I've been on two different cruise ships working where we've picked up, you know, refugees floating from Cuba, you know, when you see that, you know, see all these people piled on a little homemade raft, they're willing to die to leave.
And it's
tough. We have to pick them up.
But they get sent back.
And so that's probably
awful.
Worse. That's probably worse.
I'm like, just let them in. Like, I have such a weird feeling about that. I know everybody wants to tighten the borders, whatever, but I'm in a different mindset because my ancestors all came here from other places.
All of ours did.
And so for me, it's like, just let them in. And that's how I feel. But also, I watched a lot of documentaries and I saw a lot of that. They were coming through Lampedusa, from Africa through Greece. And, you know, I know a lot of people in Europe hate to have them come through.
Oh, yeah, it's a hard – Greece gets a lot of – and Spain.
But it's heartbreaking knowing that a whole ship just died. Like, literally 100 people just drowned because they're trying, like back in the old days when our ancestors were trying to live – they wanted a better life. That's why they came here.
Yeah. My grandmother came from Odessa in the Ukraine.
Wow,
you know?
I've been to Odessa.
See, I want to go, but now it's, again, politically,
you can't. No,
it's a war zone.
You're not going to Odessa now.
No, yeah.
Definitely not.
And that's what I think. It's like I may have missed my window there. So the things, when you put it off, you just don't know.
I was there in semester at sea, 94. We were in the Black Sea. We ported in Odessa. I flew to Russia, but I spent time in Odessa. It was in the 90s. It was very beautiful architecturally and the Potemkin steps, but it was very cool. Quiet. And then when the crazy Americans in their colorful garb came in, I mean,
in your Benetton.
It was like, Yeah, right. It was like, and then like they wanted to trade everything with us. I got like a Russian hat for my wool coat. You could give a baseball hat a pair of jeans. Jeans were like the hottest commodity. Just take your jeans off and give them to them. And they were like so happy. But you know, back then a loaf of bread was like a penny, and it was, those were rough, cold, cold, like stark times. At least that's how, maybe just culturally, how I, you know, perceived it being it is, you know, crazy they're, American.
They're like, a tight, you know, people. You know, they keep it close to the vest, them, the Russians, and a lot of, because they had a lot to be suspicious about strangers. You know, you don't want to make too much noise or stand out or just like, if somebody's too friendly to come to you, this guy wants something. You know, you're like a weirdo. Yeah. They don't smile. Smiling at a stranger is like, what's this guy after? You know, you know, when you're spied on all the time, it's tough.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jeez. So let's talk about the becoming a travel agent. You're like the second person I've talked to that is working with Fora.
Yes.
And tell me about getting into it. Can anybody do this? What are the requirements? And what's the best and hardest parts of it?
Oh, that's deep. Okay, so I love Fora. I'm obsessed with this company. I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be a travel advisor. It's really, they've reinvented the entire game of a travel agent. Super tech savvy. There's an app now. I started when the company began, so it was like spreadsheets, and it was very challenging in the beginning, but it quickly grew, and now is just out of control, meaning like the training is superb. I didn't think I wanted to do this at all, but a mom in Malibu I do yoga next to, she was a big travel writer, and she was like, she was like one of the founding, not founding, but like, I would say big wigs of the company, you know, but she was like, you should do this. And I was like, oh God, no. And she sat me down, you know, emailed me, whatever. And I was like, no. But then I had some free time. I looked at the training. I fell in love with it immediately because it was right up my alley. And I got started. And the training is essential, obviously, so you know what you're doing, because it's really your VIPing the client. Why would anyone book with you? This company has basically made partnerships with every brand, cruise, hotel, tour, anything you could imagine, Viator, everything. And so because of that partnership, you're getting your clients great rates most of the time, better than you're going to get anywhere else. We can book through various different channels like Virtuoso, Marriott, Stars, all the, it pops up on my app. Like if you said, Melissa, I want to go to this hotel for two nights, what can you get me? I can tell you immediately the perks I can get you, the rates I can get you. So they really kind of invented, not invented, but sort of changed the game in terms of the tech savviness of it. I can book for you like in 2 seconds on an app. Like I have, like if I had your credit card on file, whatever. It's really convenient and easy. I make money as a commission. So I started with friends and family. It all became referrals, because what happened is like, so someone refers me and this family wants to stay at this hotel in New York. And they're like, they already know what, you know, they can get. So they come to me and I'm like, oh, I can get you every third night free. I'm going to get you a VIP welcome amenity. The kid's birthday cake is being specially made because the hotel's doing that because we have a partnership. They're sending them a cake, champagne. They're getting a room upgrade. Now they're in the penthouse suite. And they're like, oh my God. They're right. Like, we're booking with you forever, you know? So it's really why you would book with us. It's really the incentives. Not all the time. I mean, I book for friends. Like, they need a cheap place. I can do that too. Like, I have a lot of friends who are like, Melissa, what can you get me?
Well, they used to say, you know, a lot of things with the technology now. And like, I book all my own flights and things usually because I'm so used to it and I know how to do it. But they used to think with all this technology and with hotels.com or booking, whatever these things are, that would be the end of the travel agent. But it really isn't let's take flights. Can you get a flight cheaper than I can find on my own?
So I typically only work with clients that are booking business class flights or premium class, although there are a lot of agents that will do like package deals. You know, maybe they have like a big family or a wedding party and they can somehow work with the sort of consolidator types that do the hotel and the airfare. I don't tend to do that. I tell people to, if you know you're trying to save a lot of money, just book, you know, your own flight. But with business class, Fora has their own flight desk. It's fabulous. I put in all the requirements of my client. They want this vegan food. They want the aisle, whatever they want, whatever price range they want. And then Fora comes back to me within 24 hours with three or four options for my client. They can see, they can compare. I can analyze it based on what they want to. Do they want only direct? Do they only want a 2-hour layover or whatever? So all those specifics. Yeah. So that's the kind of air stuff that I'm doing.
What are you picking up with your hand? Whatever you're doing, put it down. You realize the mic is picking up everything.
Oh, sorry.
Miss Fumble Hands. I'm going to sit on your hands. Sit on them.
I was twirling my bracelets.
Yeah. Oh really? Can you just go get some louder jewelry?
Okay. Sorry.
Get some wind chimes outside and just dangle
them. Sorry. Yeah. So, no. Fora's been so good. Like, and I have to say, I've probably gotten 50 people into the company. It's not multi-level marketing, but I have been able to get them a link to secure getting in quicker because there's like, you know, a million, not million person, but like, you know, thousands of people want to get into this company. Everyone I've brought in is really loving it. Like I brought in a girl who just does pickleball travel. So she's booking clients. Yeah, it's a thing. So one girl just books pickleball trips all over the world. And it's great for her because, you know, they're group things. She paired with Fora. I've also had a lot of other travel advisors at other companies hate their company and they've switched over to Fora because of all the convenience that Fora offers.
That's cool.
So yeah,
how much of your week is this taking? I'm like, as opposed to the writing.
That's a very good question. I have a lot of balls in the air, so I really have to manage my schedule. So I have the Lala Scoop, I have the freelance travel and food writing, and then I have Fora. I'll tell you, most of my money is coming from Fora in commissions. I'm doing really well, but clients are the first priority. So whatever I do first, it's Fora, clients. I need to make sure my clients have everything squared away. You know, if they're looking at certain hotels, whatever, I'm giving them rates. So that comes first. Then I dive into the writing next.
So how has Lala Scoop changed in the 12 years?
Oh my gosh, that's a good question. How has it changed?
I mean, do you focus on different things? Like, was it more restaurant heavy at the beginning or is this travel heavy now or something?
I'll tell you how it's changed. I've expanded. Just Los Angeles. It's California really as a whole, as well as more than California. So I have expanded way outside of Los Angeles to writing a lot about Santa Barbara, Palm Springs,
getaway stuff.
Central Coast. I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay. And you still enjoy it? Do you still like doing it?
I do love it. I am happily promoting our city in California. And it's just, you know,
thank you.
No, but it's been something I feel grateful because it's all the stuff that I love. So I'm doing what I love. And, you know, I was an educator, teacher for a long time, over like 20 plus year career. I had a lot of celebrity private clients. And this is like my next shift, you know. Well, the travel advising has been like a challenge, but it's been my next thing. I was, you know, ready to put 20 plus years with students to rest.
Wow. I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay. 20 years of doing anything is a lot. And I find like 20 years seems to be everybody's city limit. When you move someplace to, I saw this in New York, I see it out here. And say you move out here for whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be show business. It could be anything. You want to make it in the whatever business or just moving out of your hometown. After 20 years, you're either doing well or you're raising kids and need to go, you know, find more space or better schools or whatever. Or you're just over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You look around one morning and go, I don't think I have to live this way anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I know that we both love the city life, but we're older. So I think that you and I appreciate the beaches and
you're doing less.
I mean, town vibes.
And if you're single,
you know, being a city is vital. Not vital, but it's really helpful. I mean, it's a bigger dating pool and everything else. But
once 100%.
Once you're not, then all of a sudden, wait a minute, you realize that a lot of the times you were going out was to meet somebody.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. I think, like, you and I know that quality of life is a little bit more important than, like, running around town. Like, you know, we used to because it was fun. And but we were younger, and now it just seems quality life and a little bit. I like quiet. I'm like old. I want quiet. I just want quiet. No one bother me. I just want to hear the birds. I'm in Palm Springs, and I don't want to hear a car. All I want to hear is the hummingbirds, and I want silence.
And then somebody rents your place.
No, not when we're there.
No,
it's still going well. Our place is really beautiful. We keep improving it and enhancing it. And we're really lucky because of the neighborhood and the quiet, like the beauty of the mountains and palm trees. So I feel very lucky that we did buy that place in 2020 because, you know, like 4 months later, we probably wouldn't be able to afford it. Actually, now we have friends selling their Palm Springs houses. I'm like, what? Why? Why? And they can't sell them, which is crazy.
It's tough. Well, I mean, a lot of people bought, like you, right when the pandemic hit, 2 hours outside of every major. And then you got in pretty quick, but it was still, you had to outbid people. I mean,
we actually didn't really get in quick. It was really kind of depressing. We actually were out there for a month in a condo, and we put offers on many houses over $100,000 more, didn't get many places. I was very depressed. I was like, oh my God, we lost that one. We lost the next one. And it was like, people would just come in. They wouldn't even see it. The realtor comes in with a video camera, cash, boom, done. And it was like, yeah, it was like really disheartening. And we ended up getting an older 70s place that we remodeled for a year and a half, which in hindsight was the best decision of our lives, because I fell in love with the views, and now, you know, every time we go over someone else's house, we're like, oh, too many power lines, couldn't live there. Like, so we're really happy with our little house, and we love Palm Springs.
Do you ever consider, you know, I've talked to so many expats now on this show, and that's like a big thing, and I was have a dream of living abroad at some point. Do you ever dream, like, secretly, if you were going to live somewhere and move away?
I have a lot of those dreams. You know, my husband can pretty much work from anywhere. Well, actually, only in the U.S. But so we've talked about living a month, you know, in Hawaii, a month in the Central Coast, a month everywhere. But no, secretly, honestly, my dream is like to just, I would love to go to like a small town in Croatia for a month. It's one I fell in love with that was 30 minutes south of Dubrovnik. I'm spacing on the name. Sovtot. It looks like Kovtot, but it's spelled Sovtot. I would go there for a month. Then I would go to Budapest for a month. And then I would just like do like month stints, like rent a place, you know.
You can do that now, you know.
I know. maybe soon, actually. But, you know, that's a good question. I like have dreams of like, you know, a month in Hanalei Bay and like Kauai, just living like the avocado falls from the tree in my hand. And like, I've had that happen. I'm like, oh my God, avocado was this big. I ate it for a week. Yeah, that's a good question. What about you? Is there a place that you could see yourself doing that?
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's mostly European base mostly because I just think it's more my speed and sensibility and stability a little. And just like I like the options of having many cultures very close.
I like that too.
And different climates, you know. I mean, every time I have friends that moved to Costa Rica and Mexico and even Asia and Thailand and stuff like that. I mean, I love Thailand, but I'm doing less well in the heat these days. Humidity,
me
I don't
too.
Do well.
I can't.
I know. California ruined me with that.
I went back to Connecticut and I died. I got bit by bugs everywhere. And the humidity was so bad. Every day I was like sweating. I was like, this is why I moved to California. I could never live here.
I know.
I like grew up there, but I can't go back.
Look how soft we become.
I know. They say you stay in California too long, you become soft.
You do.
You stay too long in the East Coast, New York, you could become hard.
Yeah.
What you're just making me think of, another case in point, it's like you could go live in Sovtot in a great place on the water for like $800 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's like, but do you, are you and Mark, who's your husband? We haven't said his name yet, but, is he as adventurous as you or? Well, that's good. But that's,
no.
One can benefit the other, you know? if both of you were as flighty, maybe that wouldn't be a good thing.
Well, I think I pretty much brought all the adventure and excitement into our world because he, I think he traveled a little before me, but you know, it's been 10 years and he's gone all over the world. So he's now loves it so much. He's always like, where are we going? Why can't I come? Can I go on this? You know, he's so obsessed with it now, but he, I don't think was like that until he met me. And now I think, you know, we're always at these amazing hotels and these really interesting destinations. And so I think, you know, he's enamored by, I mean, we have a great life.
Now you've ruined him.
I've ruined him. I was like, good luck with the next girl. Because let me tell you, she won't be taking you all over the world.
Yeah, right. Well, give us a hint on, can you give people one, like, I know you want people to use you as a, what's the biggest mistake people make when, like, making booking plans, whether it's hotels or flights, or what's the main thing they do wrong?
Go through Expedia or one of those sites. And look, I was that girl too. You are going to get the worst room. No one's going to pay attention to you. The best thing to do is go through a travel advisor because it's not going to cost you, at least. I mean, it depends on the travel advisor. Some charge a fee. I don't. But we are making sure that the hotel knows you're coming. We're confirming every detail. So you're basically a VIP the minute you walk in. And your whole experience is going to be altered. You're getting most of the time comp breakfast for two. And any of these high-end hotels, that's like a $300 savings a day. And then, you know, you're getting a room upgrade, a VIP welcome amenity. You're getting $100 hotel credit. And you're getting all these things that you wouldn't ordinarily get just because you're using a travel advisor at no cost to you at all. And you're going to get better rates to begin with. So I think people go through those sites, which I did too. And I think people just get lazy and they're just like, oh, but you know, I have my clients now are also repeat. I mean, I have clients that book every month with me because they just know. They're like, what can you get me? And they're like, oh God, done, you know? So I think that's a big mistake that people don't use. I mean, look at the points guy. He did a whole video on it. The points guy, you know, and he did a whole video. The stupidest mistake you could ever do is not book a place with a travel advisor. no, but it's true. And most people don't know that.
And also, like I had an experience with Expedia where I had to cancel a flight.
Yeah.
And you know, I called up, I remember it was Qantas was the airline. And, you know, I said, well, I got to cancel this. How do I go through? And they were like, if you booked on a third party site, we can't go deal with them.
Yeah. You're getting nothing.
We can't help you. Just go deal with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's hard if you have to make changes or do something like that.
I mean, that's why clients book business class with me too. It's because there's a 1-800 number. If something goes wrong, 24/7, they're not calling me. They're calling that number, which is going to alleviate all their stress. That's the biggest mistake. And obviously, I've only known this now as becoming a travel advisor because I never knew what the point is or why would you book with one. But I think that's the biggest mistake. Yeah. Cause you want to incentivize your trip. Like you know, right. You want to get the most out of it. And I mean, 95% of the time, my clients are getting room upgrades.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
So, cool. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you could do this. This is awesome. And we can't wait another 12 years. Although, like I said, if I'm still doing this in 12 years, we could we got bigger problems.
We're gonna be old. Interview me again in 12 years. Let's see where we're at.
We're about to give me all the wheelchair friendly places to go.
I'm gonna be spinning my cane.
Yeah, that's
as
good.
I walk That'd down the stairs sweet. With my bad back.
Yeah. Oh God. And if I'm still doing cruises, just no.
Oh
my God.
Like, just keep going to Europe and do some river cruises. Those are easy. I think you're going to do well with the European river cruises.
Well,
you know, you'll be fine.
I do want to go on, though.
I mean, the European cruises in general.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I'm not worried about doing well. I'm worried about...
I think that'll excite your...
Yeah, I just want to see something different.
Yes.
You know, just, I want to do something different.
Yes.
God, I love you, Alaska, but after this last run, I've had enough.
I've never been to Alaska. I'm dying to go. Can I tell you, I have clients right now in Alaska and the Region 7 Seas, and they are having the time of their lives.
That's high end. I've never played. I've never done that one.
I book a lot of high-end luxury cruises, and I have a mom and dad who brought their 20-something-year-old children on the boat, well, in a different room, obviously.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I'm following their pictures. I'm like, oh, I'm so happy. They're so happy.
Oh, it's
they're
beautiful.
Doing all these-
beautiful, but I just need something different. You know, I got to change it up.
I get it.
But yeah, Regent, I've never done. There's like those high-end ones like Silver Seas, Regent, Oceana. Yeah. I've done Seaborne and Crystal.
Yeah,
I just had Azamara. Clients.
Yep, those are great. I just had clients book Explore Journeys. There's a lot of high end cruise lines. I did Swan Hellenic as a travel advisor.
Yeah.
They invited me. I've done Alma Waterways on the river. I've done a lot of these. There's so many high end luxury boutique cruises now. You can't even believe it. I mean, people don't realize the choices.
Yeah. You still haven't done Virgin, or have you?
No.
Okay.
I don't know what to
think. I'm curious.
I think
there's one way to find out.
I'm curious, but personally, I think I might have liked it if I was 32.
Sure,
I don't like a lot of people around me when I'm I like a little privacy. I'm weird. Like, I like people, but then I like don't want to be like partying at a pool. Like,
no, I
don't
want. I get it.
I mean, I have to be in a mood for that. And when I go away, I kind of want some soul. Like, I want some quiet. Like, I don't. I think I should do it.
But it's not just them, you know.
Yeah, my friends who have done it, other travel writers. Well, I'll tell you what they said. I'm not going to say who they are, but they told me they did not like the Caribbean one at all because it was like, I don't want to say, like the people, they actually made fun of them because they were gay. So they felt like...
they made fun of... Oh, your friends.
Friends of mine. Oh, yeah. They ostracized them and kind of like were making fun other clients on the boat.
It seems like less than...
You would think it would be more
open-minded. Because they got like drag shows on those things, don't they?
Right. But this, I'm telling you, my friends told me they felt very bad on the ship, which I was shocked. But
so
then they did. Yeah. Then they did the European one and they said that was much better.
Hmm. Okay.
But
well, I think here's the thing. There's a problem about the problem with the Caribbean in general, which, you know, after doing cruises for enough, I'm not a huge fan. It's like Mexico and Vegas or something, you get a lot of Americans,
yes,
the worst of Americans, because it's close and it's cheap. So it's the same problem Spain has with the Brits coming down and ruining every beach.
Oh, I saw the Brits in Sabtan, Croatia. They were all drunk out of their minds. They couldn't even stand up. I was like, what's going on?
They get the closer it is, you get the ugly American. And so, and it's like, they're not going for the culture, you know, they're going to get
exactly. And so when
to get
when,
wasted.
That Virgin America Caribbean cruise that my travel writer friend was on, it was sounded like the worst of America. I mean, not that I don't know
because I've never been. That's a lot of Caribbean cruises. I can't blame Virgin on that.
Can't blame Virgin. No. But I'm actually very curious because I've only sold it. I sold it once recently to a couple that is going to their new Alaska 2026 cruise on Virgin. And I've done all the training. I'm like a certified Virgin, pretty much, I would say expert, but not really because I've been on it.
Thank you for clearing that up. I was going to isolate that certified Virgin soundbite.
Oh. but it's amazing the incentives and perks that you have on that boat. I'm like, it sounds amazing.
Again, I'll do anything once, but they're not using too many comedians, but you know.
Well,
okay, we got to wrap this up. So
yes.
All the places you've been and all that you've seen and done in the last, you know, 12 years, what have you learned? How has it changed you? And what has it taught you about the world and people in general?
Oh, I love that question. I honestly think the best reason to travel, and for me, has really been about compassion. I feel more compassionate. I feel people that don't travel or like don't leave their state are not as open-minded as like you and me. Like we travel a lot. And so we are open-minded to many things and people and cultures because of our interests and acceptance. And I think honestly, compassion is the biggest thing. And to really see how other people live, because, you know, you're kind of in a bubble in Southern California.
Everybody's in their own bubble.
Yeah, everyone's in their own bubble. You're
right. Doesn't matter
where
you are.
And I think, exactly. And I think it's very important for people to get out of their comfort zone and challenge themselves. And I think that's the beauty of travel. It's always been for me really about education. You're learning. And that's why I've always been excited about travel, because I like to learn. And I'm very curious. So, yeah.
Perfect. All right. Last thing, get your plugs in. Tell people where they can find you, where they can book, and everything else.
Sure. Well, Melissa Curtin with Fora, C-U-R-T-I-N. My website is lalascoop.com. I'm also a freelance writer. So, I mean, it sounds cheesy.
Instagram?
Google me. Yeah. Instagram is lalascoop. L-A-L-A-S-C-O-O-P.
Uh-oh. Now the dog has indicated that it's time to end. Great. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
And it's always a pleasure with you, Mike. Thank you. I love talking travel and life with you.
Yeah, it's great. We'll get together soon.
Yes, I would love that.
Awesome. Melissa Curtin, everybody.
For spontaneous travelers, winging it is the perfect listen. James Hammond shares stories and tips from 75-plus countries. Find it at voyescape.com.